What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. And before I toss to Taylor, who's in for Laura today, Chi-Chi's in Northridge is still open right there off of Nordoff. Bunch of people are tweeting me. I went to their website. It shows it as a location. So if you live in Northridge, Chi-Chi's is still available. So
you got that cheesy bread or what?
I mean, it's all good. You know, I mean, it's like a cool little, you know, spot to go in and get some pizza real quick. Yeah. And they got good salads and stuff. All right, Taylor, what do you got?
If I'm in Northridge, I'm going to Brent's Deli.
Oh.
That's the spot to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Wexler's as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So not sure if you guys are festival goers or not, but I'm going to give some love to the South Bay.
Oh, well, there was the beach festival this weekend.
Beach
exactly.
Life. Beach so, life know, this beach past life. Weekend. Yeah. Yeah.
I took my bike. I live in Torrance, so I took it to Redondo Beach this weekend for Beach Life Festival. The third installment this year had a great turnout despite temps in the 80s, but Sheryl Crow, Steve Miller Band played.
How'd Steve Miller Band do? Because, you know, usually he kind of, they prop him up like Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, he might be nearing retirement, I think. But is this kind of up your alley, Cap? Something you would?
Yeah.
Go to?
So I went to Beach Life last year, and I loved the event. I didn't like go crazy for the bands, but I was planning on going this year, and then just, you know, life took over. But yeah, man, I love the Beach Life Festival. It's great.
I wanted to go so bad and see Weezer.
Yeah, I'm in the area too, so I didn't go this year. I just busy, but like I'd like to go. It's like 15 minutes from my house, so I'd like to go at some point, but
still convenient. Yeah. They're getting better acts every year too, so
yeah maybe next year we'll see.
Yeah, because like last year I saw Counting Crows, and they have like one song.
They're like coming up. They're like in the middle of like a resurgence, I guess. But
are they really?
It's with like their older music, though. I feel like that's like a movement right now.
Wow, I didn't realize that, because I saw Counting Crows last year, and I'm like, you know what? They got one song. That's kind of my only deal with them.
Yeah.
And then I saw what's the Australian band name? Something with Men. Men at Work. I saw
a weird combo.
Right. They were great. I know it was a weird combo, but they were actually really, really good. But just the whole setup, the whole VIP area, the way they've got it set up, all the corporate sponsorship. I mean, I'm telling you, this Beach Life Festival is great.
Yeah. All right. That is What You Need to Know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Speaking of festivals and events and things like that, Lindsay, what's this story you were telling me about that like they're charging like $18 for like Michelob Ultra somewhere?
Oh, it's at the PGA Tour coming up this weekend.
Wow.
Yeah. So you go from like the Masters, which you're paying like, what, $1.50 for drinks, you know, or $3 for a beer, $1.50 right. for the cheese.
Yeah, they
sandwich.
Keep the same prices as back
yeah.
in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. But then, you know, I guess with the PGA Championship, they're charging $18 for a Michelob Ultra.
Yo, that's a lot, bro. I don't even like beer that much, like, to be honest with you. Like, I like, you got to have, like, there was, a spot, what was the name of these guys in Torrance that I used to go to all the time, that we did a bunch of shows from there, and they have great beer, but they're like one of these like microbreweries.
Oh yeah.
So like that stuff was delicious. But I'm not like drinking Stella and Michelob Ultra a ton. I do like drinking them at ballparks or outdoor festivals and things like that. That's when I drink beer, when I'm like outdoors mostly. But like, and so golf obviously would fit into that. But yo, at some point, it's like, yo, $20 for a beer? Like, well, what the hell is going on here?
I mean, and listen, here's the thing. I prefer a Coors Light if I'm going to drink a domestic light beer, okay? But a couple weeks ago, I was at this Pearl Jam concert, and the only beer that they had, they either had like a big, heavy IPA, or the only alternative was a Michelob Ultra. Let me tell you something. I never drank a Michelob Ultra.
Michelob Ultra's good.
It's really good.
I like it.
It's very light. It's very crispy.
90 calories.
Yeah, it's very, I'm telling you, it was a really, really good beer.
Right, but are you paying $20 for a cup of Michelob Ultra?
Not at all.
That's my point.
Like, dude, it's offensive. Seriously. Like, I get it. Everything in the world's going up. Gas prices continue to rise. Interest rates rise. I got it, okay? Inflation. We're living it.
Yeah. But by the way, Dude's Brewing Company in Torrance was the great place we used to love going to, and we did a bunch of shows from there.
All right, cool. Yes. But listen, $18 for a single beer. Like, if I saw an $18 beer in the grocery store, I'd think, what is that, a 12-pack? At least, right?
Right.
12-pack.
No, one beer. Uno.
One Michelob Ultra, which, by the way, you're going to need like 10 of them. So you're in for at least $180.
See, but Michelob Ultra is my kind of beer, because I'm not a huge beer person, unless I'm going to have like a fancy beer, like from like Dude's Brewing Company or something like that, where it's like a microbrew. So like, to me, that's perfect, because I don't drink a ton of beer. I like Michelob Ultra because I can pound them and drink them, you know, like throughout the day if I'm at an event, you know?
Poundability. That's right.
Yeah,
that used to be my, that was like my beer, but then when I was a bartender because I would drink a lot of them. But then I switched to like the Bud, and people make fun of me so bad when I'm like, I'll just have a Budweiser. And they're like, really? You drink Bud heavy? Like, geez, where are you from? And I'm
really,
just like,
what do you smoke Marlboro Reds also? I
mean,
come on.
I feel like they taste better than Bud Light. I don't know.
Listen, yeah. Estella. Okay, I like Estella. Stella's a good beer.
Yeah, it's all right.
$18?
Those are $19, actually.
Oh, $19.
You know.
Yes. Oh, even worse. Yeah. $19 mm-hmm. for Estella. Okay, then now they have all the beer companies now have seltzer drinks, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
So one of these seltzer drinks at the PGA Championship, $19?
Yeah. Like, I like a little Kona Big Wave, though, $15. I'd do that.
Kona Big Wave's
a nice
beer.
Those are only 12 ounces.
Yeah. Small beer. Yeah. Small beer, oh. Big price.
Yeah.
Look, I understand that when you go to an event like this, they're going to gouge you, and I think everybody does, but at some point, $18 for a Michelob Ultra, a case maybe, a beer, I'm not doing it.
I like Golden Road. I like that beer place. It's a good beer place. Golden Road, a little mango cart on a like a nice hot day.
Mm-hmm. So,
but that's it. Like, to me, it's like specialty stuff. Manuel and Gardena. Manuel, what's up, bro?
Oh, what up, Sedano, Cap? You'll be happy to know that our guy CY was holding it down with the bump, ba-da-bump the other night.
Yeah.
So, hey, man, I go backwards styles. KCUF Boston, man. You know what I mean? I don't want to see them win nothing. Like you were saying, Cap, they are some obnoxious ass sports fan as a whole. And the Celtics, man, fresh off of winning time, Red Auerbach could suck on that cigar until he chokes.
Yeah. You tell him, Manuel. Anything else?
No, he's done.
Okay, because you were really starting to get rolling, you know? Because that's like my favorite line in all of Winning Time came in the final episode when Red Auerbach is standing there and he's saying something and he's like, yeah, we got the MVP, we got the Executive of the Year, we got, I don't know, Coach of the Year, Rookie of the Year, whatever it was. And Jerry Buss turns around and he says, you got all the awards that don't mean anything, man. That's it. That's why, George, your whole point, if the Celtics are on 17 and the Lakers are on 17 and the Celtics have a real opportunity to win a championship and take that lead and get to 18, Laker fans should be rooting against the Celtics.
100%. Isaac in East LA is going to back us up on that. Isaac.
Yes, sir.
What do you got?
Hello.
Isaac, what's right, good, man?
Hey, gentlemen, Lizzie, good afternoon. There's just no way any self-respecting Lakers fan would ever cheer for the Celtics. A couple of weeks ago, I think it was after the first round, Cap even was saying, oh, they're such a good team. I was like, what am I listening to? I can't believe that. There's just no way. I have two teams I cheer for, the Lakers and whoever's playing the Celtics. I want them to lose today, tomorrow, and every day after that.
That's the way I feel about the Chargers. It's exactly the way I feel about the Chargers.
You feel about the Chargers that way because you feel like they did you dirty.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right. So for whatever reason, that's why people feel the way they feel about the Celtics. They feel like they did the Lakers dirty.
Yeah.
You know, or they felt like they took championships from them.
But
or whatever.
I don't have no problem with you hating on the Chargers because if your story is accurate, then they did you dirty.
Yeah, but it's just a matter of, look, some teams you love and you grow to love, and other teams you hate and you grow to hate. And listen, it's true. The Celtics are a fun team to watch. Their players seem like pretty decent guys.
Yeah.
But when you get to this time of the year...
Yeah, look, I've become a huge Rams fan. Why? Because we've become cool with the organization, right? Like, I love rooting for them. I believed in them when you and mostly everyone here didn't believe in them. And, you know how I got my man crush on Sean McVay.
I appreciate you buttering me up, George.
You're welcome, Sean.
I understand that completely. I do.
You know,
man crush on Sean McVay is not a hard thing to have.
Yeah.
So. Lovable guy.
Yeah. I missed that drop, by the way.
I appreciate you buttering me up, George.
So.
It's nice to have you at the controls of the sound effects today, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, not really.
Tells me.
So, yeah, look, I get it. I get it. But here, have you become like more sports agnostic as time has gone by?
Oh, my God. Oh, for sure.
Yeah, only because the business does that to you.
That, and look, here's the thing. Like, people will criticize LeBron, for example, if LeBron supports, call it the Dodgers.
Right.
People are going to go, LeBron's not a Dodger fan.
Right.
Yeah, but he lives in L.A., and he wants to support the local teams, and you watch him play on TV because they're the most accessible content, and eventually you start to like him.
Yeah.
And it's just throwing support in a certain way.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. I am the worst kind of sports fan there is right now. I am the absolute... I'm the guy that everybody gets offended by when they're like, no, you can only have one team. You're from this part of the country. You grew up on this team.
Well, you can
never have more than one.
I'll give you another example. I grew up a Yankees fan, okay? Like, my dad was a Yankees fan. We didn't have baseball in Miami growing up when I was a kid until I was in high school. We got Yankees games, we got Mets games, we had Braves games, we had Cubs games on TV, okay? So you could have your pick of any of those teams, really, because they were on a ton. Either on cable or on the independent channels. And, you know, honestly, I stopped watching the Yankees regularly for a long time. Like, when I was in Connecticut, I probably watched them more when I was first at ESPN. But then I get out here, and it's like, it's hard to watch them at 4 o'clock every day and whatever. And yeah, I still liked them the first couple years when I was here. But the more and more I got, like, connected to the Dodgers and became, like, cool with Dave Roberts.
It's baseball.
You know, our guy right there. And, you know, just... You grow to know these people, so you root for them, right? Like, I think that becomes part of it, at least in this industry, to your point.
Oh, dude, I am the worst. I'm the absolute worst. When I was a little kid, I was growing up in New York. My father was a Jets fan and a Mets fan, but my grandfather was a Yankee fan. So, okay, I became a Yankee fan. We moved from New York to Denver, Colorado. At that time, the Broncos were kind of getting good. They were playing in the Super Bowl against the Cowboys. Yeah. Lyle Alzado was kind of the star of the team. I became a big Bronco fan. We moved down to South Florida. Dan Marino got drafted by the Dolphins. I became a huge Dolphin fan.
Right.
I went to school in Pittsburgh. I became a Steeler fan, Pirates fan, Penguins fan. I'm telling you, I'm the worst. I am the worst.
Well, yeah, you move a lot, actually.
Well, I did. I kind of moved around.
I don't know if you saw Lil Wayne called Luka, you know, a hoochie, let's just say, okay? And he was going back and forth with Mark Cuban. Because Lil Wayne was rooting against the Mavs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they went back for a little beef, and he called them a hoochie, to say, you know, for lack of a better phrase.
Yeah, I'm not sure I understand what that means. Now, I know what a hoochie means.
Right.
But I don't understand what Lil Wayne calling Luka a hoochie.
Right, you're a bleep.
Just to get at Mark Cuban is what he, that's what he was doing. Right. So, anyway, damn it now, Cap. Now I forgot what the hell I was going to say.
I don't know, something about a hoochie.
Lil Wayne called him a...
Some about sports fans and about...
He ruined it. I don't remember what the hell it was.
Oh, I ruined it.
Yes, you changed my... I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, you think I'm alone?
Yes.
Yes! I was leading up to a story, and now it's completely off my brain.
And I have to take blame for that?
Yes, because you interrupted me.
Oh. All right, well, anyway, back to hoochies, I guess.
I don't know. I don't know what the hell it was.
Luca's a hoochie?
Yeah, I mean, just whatever, dude. It's all good.
Luka's a hoochie. I don't get that at all. Lil Wayne, I mean, come on. How do you not like Luka? See, there's another example of being a bad sports fan.
Oh, what I was going to say is, like, you're like Lil Wayne, who always changes teams. That's you. You're also what Lil Wayne was calling Luka, because you are a hoochie when it comes to your teams. You're just hoochieing up to every team.
Wait a second. What about you?
I've only hoochied up to, like, one other team.
The Lakers, the Dodgers, who else? Rams?
From the teams I grew up with, and by the way, I still have allegiances that I haven't changed, but the teams I grew up with to the teams I'm here, like, I root for them, yes, but you've switched teams like 5 times.
I don't know, man. Hoochie-esque. I don't know. I don't see what's different about my hoochie.
You ain't nothing but a hoochie mama. Hood rat, hoochie mama. It's like in Friday, you know? Remember that?
I do, as a matter of fact, but I do think that if I'm a hoochie, you're a hoochie, too.
Janet Jackson. She looked more like Freddie Jackson.
I love that song. We need to play that.
Find that song. It's such a great song. The beginning of it is like the best, I feel. Even before they get into, ain't nothing but a hoochie mama. It's just a little doom da doom da doom doom da doom da doom doom da doom da doom.
Isn't this the scene where she's calling Craig? Craig! Is that the scene?
Yeah, and then she wants to hook him up with Smokey, and Smokey gets all freaked out.
He's so funny as that character, Smokey.
He was great in that movie, for sure. All right, let me sneak in one more. Can I sneak in one more? Or no, we got to go to break.
Yeah, go for it.
No, I got to go. No! I got to listen to the people here.
Do your thing.
We got a break. We're going to be back in, I swear to God, 120 seconds.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It is a great theme song.
You know I'm going to play the Growing Pains theme song, homeboy.
It is a great theme song.
Oh, that's funny.
You don't think it's a great theme song?
It's aight.
What? What's a better theme song than this?
Sanford and Son.
That's a good one, man.
Bam, 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 down, bum, down.
Ba, bow, na, bow, na.
Right. Yes. See, I'm glad you agree.
Yeah. Occasionally we do.
Sanford and Son's a great theme song.
It is. Beto Duran has his own beer. He just tweeted it at us.
Yeah, I see this. He's got some kind of horchata milkshake thing going on.
Yeah, India Pale Ale, a little IPA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very fancy. I mean, look, Beto's an influencer. He's got his own beer. I mean, Mason's really going to be jealous now. He didn't even know about the beer thing.
The other day, he was wearing a Sunday Swagger shirt on the golf course and giving me the point, the voodoo point.
I saw that, yeah.
And I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I will say, Beto, I know you're probably tuning in right now because this is your time of the day to be listening. I will tell you that you did inspire me this weekend. You create so much content on Instagram stories. I never use Instagram stories. That's why I went so nuts this past weekend on Instagram stories.
Huh? Stop yet?
See.
All right, let's go to the phones. We have people holding on patiently that have been holding on through all of this.
What do they want from us?
Let me go to Gil in West Covina. Gil, what up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Having fun listening to you guys on this long drive home. Appreciate
Thank you, bud.
You guys.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
So, yeah, sticking to your Friday references, I'm going to try to see how I'm probably going to bomb, but never, ever, 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 ever do I want to see a Boston Celtics fan, Lakers fan cheering for Boston Celtics. That's pathetic. Should never happen. Matter of fact, those fans should have Will Smith backhand slap them. you're a Lakers fan. You stick to your team. I am going to add a couple other side notes. Chris Paul overrated. Had to throw it out there. But
overrated? Wow.
Yes, yes. It's been, I've been hearing it all day, morning talk, but yeah, he's overrated. He doesn't accomplish anything. He can't make it. He gets hurt. Hasn't won anything. Top 10 point guard? No way. And lastly, why are you guys hating on my Chargers? They deserve some respect.
That's Cap. Cappy.
No, that's me.
That's Cappy.
That's me. I will take all of that hate. I will spew it.
I'm a big fan, but it's got to stop.
Nah, man.
Herbert's going to tear it up this year.
Yeah, Cappy, don't hate. Celebrate.
No, I do celebrate more often than not, but in this one particular small instance, I do hate.
Yeah. Can't have the Golden State Warriors winning either. Bandwagon jumpers. I'm rooting for Dallas Mavs or the Heat, but Boston Celtics, never, 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 ever, 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 ever.
All right, Gil. Thank you, buddy. All right, let's go to, is it Pless?
Pless?
Please? Pless?
Pless, that's it. Cool, yep. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I think I got a scenario where you might pull for this Celtics role.
I need to hear this. Go ahead.
If the Lakers were looking good and they just won the Western Conference Finals and the Celtics were in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay, that's different because you want to see them play against each other. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then, okay, maybe I'll give you that, yes.
But not what we're talking about here.
Yeah, but in this scenario, that's not the case, right? I'm talking about like right now. Like, there's no way you don't want the Heat or whoever comes out of the West to beat them.
Oh yeah, no, for sure. But like the caller before was saying, never, never, never. I mean, I don't know. I think that might be not least for
that's
me.
That's the only scenario, is what you're saying.
I think so. For me, at least, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Appreciate you.
It does make sense that you'd want to see the Lakers play the Celtics because you'd want to see the rivalry.
Correct.
Whereas,
that I'm okay with. I got it. Yeah.
Whereas, you hear from Laker fans all the time, they don't want to see the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals because they don't want the Clippers getting to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
So it's kind of different. The hate you spew, the Clipper hate that Laker fans spew versus the Celtic hate. Which is a whole different kind of hate than my Charger hate. Different hate.
No, yours is more personal.
Right, it's personal hatred.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not just like, you know, fake hate. It's real hate.
Yeah. Let's go to Curtis. Curtis is an actual Celtics fan. Curtis, how are you?
Actual Celtics fan, exactly. Yeah, please, please don't root for us. We don't need you rooting for us. Please.
There we go.
Don't do it. We will never root for the Lakers. Doesn't matter the scenario. Please don't root for the Celtics. Forget about it. And Michael, ESPN's own Michael Wilbon said it best, that the most entitled, the most selfish, the most do-nothing and expect-everything fan base is the Los Angeles Laker fan base. Thank you very much. So sit there and do nothing, expect everything, and please do not root for us. We're fine. We're fine. We're good. We got Tatum. We're doing fine.
Wow.
Not hearing enough Boston accent in that. In that phone call.
Yeah, you know, he's probably been here for a long time. You kind of lose it a little bit.
I mean, come on, dude, really?
We should have asked him to say chowder. Let's see what he said.
I mean, I figure, you know, if you're a hardcore Boston like that, we'd be able to pick it up. Couldn't even hear it.
Yeah.
I don't think that guy's from Boston.
You don't think he's actually from Boston?
No, I think he's a Celtics fan, not from Boston.
Okay.
That's what I think.
I mean, I don't know. Sounds like a Boston fan to me.
Nah, Boston fan, true. From Boston, I mean, different guy.
Why does he have to sound like, Matt Damon in, like, Good Will Hunting? Like, does he have to sound like that for you think he's a Boston fan?
Just a little hint, just a little tiny hint of something that would tell me that he's from Boston.
You know, Noah.
Maybe he's that, you know, that passionate.
Noah's in Studio City. What up, Noah?
Hey, guys, how's it going? Listen, this is ridiculous. We talk about lifelong Laker fans. I'm older than everybody that's calling in here. I've been watching the Lakers and been a fan of them since I was watching them on a black and white TV on Channel 9 with Gail Goodrich and Jerry West and Elgin Baylor on a tape delay in the finals when I was a little kid. So don't talk to me about, you know, what Laker fan with self-respect and blah, blah, blah. Look, I'm a huge Laker fan, but it's stupid to deny that the Celtics are doing everything right and we have been doing everything wrong since Dr. Buss passed. They've drafted better than us. They've managed their organization better than us. We could have and should have drafted Brown and Tatum. But we got Magic Johnson came on and went crazy and went, oh, this is going to be the next superstar. Cut to 8 seconds later and Lonzo Ball's barely in the league anymore. And I'm not, you know, it's just silly to go, well, then deny what these guys are doing. They're humble, good, hardworking dudes. Jason Tatum is a stud. Marcus Smart is a stud. They've drafted well. They brought in good pieces around them. Meanwhile, we've been making these crazy leaps at guys like Russell Westbrook, who has been a problem at every team he's been on. And it's just silly to go, oh, I don't want them to win. Rooting for Boston to lose isn't going to make us suck any less. We need to hope our team starts making some smart moves. And you know what? If Boston and those guys go get a chip, God bless them. They deserve it because they're doing it right. And I'm smart enough to know and pragmatic enough to be able to accept the fact that they have surpassed us, right?
Okay, Noah, here's what I would say.
Great.
All those things you said are fair and accurate, and I wouldn't challenge you on any of that. They are more well-run than the Lakers and have been basically for, you know, the last almost decade or whatever it's been. I'm not disputing that. It still doesn't mean you don't want them to win. Like, I mean, I think those two things can both live together at the same time.
But what a line. What a great line. Rooting against the Celtics isn't going to make the Lakers suck any less. Wow, I did not see that coming. I thought what you were going to say was rooting against the Celtics isn't going to make the Lakers any better. No, no, no. Noah went right for not going to make the Lakers suck less. Noah, that's a solid phone call. Even if a lot of people will disagree.
No, he's not wrong about any of the things he said. You can absolutely think that the Lakers, I mean, most of the people that call this station, I would say the majority of people, when we start talking about the Lakers situation at the moment, agree with us that it's a mess. I mean, listen, the owner said that. We don't need to, you know, forget about what we said, right? And I think that you could also sit there and say, like, hell no, I don't want the Celtics to win, though. Even though, yes, of course it's not letting you win anything. I mean, that's not. I mean, you think that part is like some sort of revelatory statement?
Gosh, you did it to me again with the revelatory. Gosh darn it.
Yeah.
And I used it, just so you know.
I heard while I was gone, yeah.
Dude, I used it on Thursday.
And I heard you used it correctly. Clinton told me.
George, I'd been working on revelatory for a few days. I was planning on infusing it into my vocabulary.
Yeah.
We were at Hollywood Park Casino, and all of a sudden, the opportunity presented itself, and I busted out revelatory. And let me tell you something. DeMarco Farr was as impressed with my use of revelatory as the first time I heard you use it.
Right.
And I was now is this going to become a regular thing now? We're going to start using this word a lot?
No, I mean, I just used it because I felt like it was appropriate. And also, I wanted to see if you would, continue using it or trying to use it or screw it up, one or the other.
Yeah. Well, I screwed up last week when I turned revelatory into relevatory.
Yes.
But anyway, look, that's a great call. Rooting for the Celtics to lose is not going to make the Lakers suck any less. Mm-hmm. That, sir, Noah, that was very funny.
Phenomenal.
It was great. That was funny, Noah.
Yeah.
Funny guy.
Funny guy? Like how? Yep. Funny
like
guy?
Funny, like he's a clown. Like, I'm here to amuse you, Hendry.
Yeah.
Right. Funny.
Let me see. Let me go to Andy in Woodland Hills first. Andy, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey.
Quick question for you. For you, Sedano. Well, I am actually a Miami Heat fan heading down to Miami for the very first time to go see them in Miami. Some recommendations for any pastelitos and some Cuban food.
Oh, man. You can get Cuban food pretty much anywhere there.
You're not the right guy, though. You're asking the right character.
You don't have to, we're here. There's only like a handful of places you can go, especially my place, Tropicana and Downey. But, here's one cool place I will tell you to go that's like super mom and pop. It's like old school, really mom and pop. Like this, it's like a family restaurant for like 50 years. It's called Garcia's Seafood. It's on the Miami River. It's like 10 or 15 minutes from the arena. And when I'm telling you that this is like the dad, had a fishing boat and started a fishing business and eventually created a restaurant. And then the mom ran it. And now the brothers run it and the sons or whatever. Like, it's like family owned. And you will get like authentic Cuban seafood there and the freshest stuff in the city, I think, because they literally still have all these boats where they fish for the stuff that you're going to eat there.
George, you're not going to give this guy get off the plane, get to Versailles, get yourself a Cuban coffee?
You can do that,
coffee.
But that's that's like super touristy. Everybody can look that up on Google.
It's his first time going, man.
I get it, but that you can find that on Google or TripAdvisor. I'm telling you something you can do that nobody tells you about.
You hearing this, sir?
And that's why I called you.
You hearing this?
That's why I called you.
Yeah. You see, Cappy? Go ahead.
Pastelitos. How about some pastelitos?
All right. So there is my favorite bakery is a place in a town called Hialeah. Hialeah is like, it's probably like the equivalent to like East LA. You know what I mean? And I would say that you can go, there's a bakery there called Vicky Bakery. Now there's a bunch of them now, so you don't have, but the original one is in Hialeah on East 4th Avenue. If you go to that one, I mean, it's slow as hell. It's like Porto's or Tropicana. There's a line, but it's delicious. And it's the original one. That's the one you should go to.
Thank you, gentlemen.
You got it, buddy.
All right. Peace out, my man.
There you go. See?
See, my friend who you gave the advice to go to Versailles and get some Cuban coffee?
Yeah.
To this day, still says best coffees ever.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, Versailles on the air. It's right by the airport. It's great, but it's you can go on TripAdvisor or Google find that stuff. Yeah, I know you don't go on Google for anything, but
no, Google TripAdvisor. What's that?
Yeah. All right,
please.
Big deal or no deal? More of your calls. We wrap it up. We only have 30 minutes to go. The motto for the next 2 weeks is
believe. I mean, not everybody agrees, but bleep Boston.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Thank you, Christopher. All right, Linz, what do we got here for Big Deal or No Deal?
All right, well, what we've got, I feel like my microphone is very echoey today. Is it just me? Am I imagining that?
Yeah, no, you sounds echo. Good.
Sound good to me.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's probably just me because I usually wear my headphones in one ear. Anyway, so Saudi Arabia apparently made a very, very, very strong play to make Jack Nicklaus the face of the LIV Golf Invitational Series.
Wow. Wow.
Is it, you guys call it LIV or LIV? I still haven't figured it out yet.
I don't know what it's called. I mean, the only LIV I know is the nightclub.
Okay. So we'll just go with LIV just because it looks like LIV.
Yeah.
But anyway, Nicklaus said that he repeatedly turned down massive offers from the Saudi-backed golf venture to lend the LIV Golfer Series and or to lead the LIV Golfer Series, something that Hall of Famer Greg Norman eventually accepted. He told the Fire Pit Collective, I don't know what publication that is, but he told them, "I was offered something in excess of $100 million by the Saudis to do the job, probably similar to the one that Greg Norman is doing." He said that he turned them down once verbally and once in writing, telling them, "Guys, I have to stay with the PGA Tour. I helped start the PGA Tour."
Mm-hmm.
Is this a big deal or no deal, Cap?
I'm going to say it's a big deal, and the reason for me is this. Like, look, you could take Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Greg Norman, I mean, just any of these guys. Nobody, in my opinion, was bigger than Jack Nicklaus. Now, a lot of people might argue with me about Arnold Palmer. That's okay. I'm not having a historical golf discussion with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling
Great
you that
drink.
Jack Nicklaus was the man. And if Jack Nicklaus put his name on that tour, I'm telling you right now, people would have followed. Whereas Greg Norman was always kind of known as a money me kind of guy. I just have to say it takes a lot of, you got to have a lot of money in the bank to turn down $100 million. Way to go, Jack.
And a lot of something else, too.
Yes, you got to have very big golf balls. It's exactly what you need to have.
Yeah. It's a big deal. I mean, just because of all the people that are involved, the money, et cetera. And it's gotten a lot of publicity. It's not great publicity either in some cases. So,
who the heck do they think they are asking the Jack Nicklaus? Like, I don't know. That's crazy that they asked him. I just feel like the fact that they even approached him about it is crazy.
Well, don't you understand, though, that they think, and I don't mean to put this on they, meaning the Saudi Arabians. I mean to put this on anybody
Believe,
who has that kind of money.
Yes.
They think everybody has a price. Everybody can be bought. And like, if they would have offered me $100 million, I'd be like, yeah, for sure. Let's do the deal. Let's do it right now.
The whole thing is very fascinating with Phil and everything. And I love watching golf. I'm a big fan of it. So I'm watching, keeping a close eye on it because it's very interesting to me.
Phil is just toxic now.
Totally. Good. Great story for another day.
Yeah.
All right. So speaking of toxic people, Elon Musk has taken to his personal Twitter account to criticize the social media platform's algorithm. The SpaceX and Tesla CEO wrote today that it's very important that Twitter users, quote, fix their Twitter feeds. He said that users are being manipulated by the algorithm. Musk clarified that he's not suggesting that there's malice in the algorithm, but rather how under the home tweets, the algorithm will attempt to show the user what they want to read, which inadvertently manipulates or amplifies your viewpoints without you realizing that this is happening. I feel like that is an algorithm that's used on all of the social media platforms,
yes.
So I don't know why Twitter is any different. So is this a big deal or no deal, Sedano?
It's not a big deal. Again, not revelatory, Cap.
Nice job.
Because it's one of these situations, to Lindsay's point, that all the social media sites use. And he like explained, like if you hit the little stars on the right of your phone, and you can put it in chronological order. Yeah, most people realized that, I don't know, a year or two ago when they changed the interface.
That's news to me.
Of course, it would be news to you.
Yes. Exactly.
I'm gonna say that this is no deal in a weird kind of way, and it's kind of a big deal, but I'm going to go with no deal. But here's the thing. Am I alone in this, or has Elon Musk jumped the shark?
No, you're right. I think he has. I used to be a fan, and like I told you guys last week, that I'm out on my Tesla because I feel like he's too unpredictable to the point where I feel like he's making some really bad business decisions.
Oh, my God.
And like,
so
he's just, he's gone from being like polarizing but a good businessman to now just being a complete, like, lunatic.
I mean, this whole thing last week of now maybe it's not going to go through. Maybe he's not going to pay 40-some-odd billion
dude,
dollars.
Dude, I'm telling you. Like, I cannot deal with that dude. Like,
dude, he is so annoying. And look, I said it from the beginning. The reason I don't like him is, look, I can acknowledge what he has done, okay? But he is a market manipulator. And that is not cool for the rest of
everybody
else. By the
way, he sold $10 billion worth of his Tesla stock, and no one, because he was trying to buy Twitter. So what happens if he doesn't buy Twitter and he just sold $10 billion of stock and changed everything there?
Yep.
I'm telling you, this guy is, you said it, Lindsay, talk about toxic people right now.
Yeah, I know, Sedano, when you were gone last week, I talked to Captain DeMarco about my Tesla that I've been wanting so badly. You know, like, yeah, I can afford to get, like, a different car right now, like, cash in hand, but I've been wanting a Tesla. It's just, like, a thing for me. Like, I want one. They're great cars, but after everything that's happened over the past 2 weeks, like, I canceled my deposit, and I was just like, nope, I can't even do it anymore. I cannot support that guy's company.
I like it.
It seems volatile.
I'm so glad you're doing this. This is like last year when I returned the Kyrie Irving shoes. At some point, you got to make a stand.
Mm.
Yeah.
You made a stand.
Yeah. I mean, it is sort of the same, but also not the same.
Mm. Yeah, it's kind of the same, and it's also very different at the exact same time.
By the way, I got to post pictures of all my Kyries because Jason in sales asked me about all my Kyries. He's like, do you really have that many Kyries? I was like, I sure do. Mm. Anyway,
next.
Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson is doing something really, really cool for his teammates. Sorry, but this is an actual story.
Okay, I mean, it's Cleveland, though. Okay. It's first. Actually, we've gone, you know, 2 hours and 38 minutes.
This is probably the longest I've ever gone a whole show without mentioning Cleveland. Yeah. So Deshaun Watson is treating the members of on the offense to an all-expenses trip to the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Baker Mayfield, who is currently requesting a trade out of Cleveland, will not be a part of the Browns' trip to the Bahamas.
I mean, that would be awkward as hell.
Yeah, dude, they've just canceled him.
Well, he's not going to be there. Everybody else on this part of the offense is going to be there, but not Baker. And apparently this trip is supposed to be similar to the, quote, Camp Mayfield that Baker has hosted in the past few years in his hometown of Austin, Texas. I'll take the Bahamas over Austin, Texas any day.
Yeah.
But is this team bonding trip put on by Deshaun Watson without Baker Mayfield a big deal or no deal, Sedano?
No deal. I mean, all these quarterbacks do it. You know what is a big deal? Is LeBron is doing a Q&A on Twitter. He has. I don't think he's ever done one of these, or at least I don't recall he has.
I feel like he's never done that.
And Kaplan asked him, when are you coming on ESPN Los Angeles with me and Matt Sedano?
You would, Kaplan.
I mean, for the love of God, you could not restrain yourself in that situation.
Such an evil laugh.
I love it. I do. I mean, come on. LeBron's out there going, hey, I'm bored. I got nothing going on right now. I'm ready for some Q&A. Here's my question. You're sitting there with your phone. You're seeing all these tweets come in. My question is simple. LeBron, King, when are you coming on with me and Sedano?
How many questions has he answered so far? Any?
I don't know. I mean, he's answered a few.
I'm waiting for his response.
I want to ask him if he would want Kyrie on the list. Well, he can't say anything, but that'd be cool if he could.
Hey, by
I mean,
the way,
he's had 20,000 responses, so I'm guessing there's a chance you're not going to get to that. They're not going to get to yours, Cap.
Maybe LeBron should buy Twitter.
He should. You know, Snoop Dogg mentioned after our, you know, Elon kind of did like the dog ate my homework thing about Twitter. Snoop Dogg was like, maybe I should buy Twitter. Can you imagine if Snoop Dogg bought Twitter?
That would be the greatest thing ever. The only problem is that Snoop Dogg has like rapper wealth and Elon Musk has like international, in fact, not just international, like, I don't know, outer space wealth.
There's no way that Snoop Dogg could afford to buy Twitter. There's no way. I love you, Snoop. I know you got a lot of money, but I don't think you got $44 billion worth of money.
Mm.
Could be
wrong.
In the
meantime, this Deshaun Watson thing, back to it for a quick second.
Yeah.
I actually think it is kind of a big deal because, look, you're going to a new team. You've got all this guaranteed money. You need to let all the guys on the team know who you are and what you're all about. And by giving them a gift from the very beginning, like, hey, look, I'm getting paid a lot of money. I'm counting on you guys to protect me. I'm counting on you guys to run the ball, you guys to catch the ball. And look, I may be gone for 4, maybe 6 weeks. Who knows how long it's going to be. I want you guys clamoring for me to come back. I'm your guy. I'm your leader. I like it. I think it's a smart move.
I feel like he's totally one-upping Baker. Like, oh, you want to do a team bonding trip? Man, Austin, Texas? Yeah, whatever. That's all right. But I'm taking you guys to the Bahamas. Let's go. I'd be in.
I've never been to Austin, Texas, but man, everybody
cool.
ran down there in the last couple of years.
It's cool, but it's not the Bahamas, that's for sure. All right, one more really quick here. So a retired couple in India is suing their son and daughter-in-law, demanding that they produce a grandchild within a year, or they have to pay them 50 million rupees, which is approximately $675,000.
Hmm.
So this guy said that it was an emotional and sensitive issue for him and his wife, and they can't wait any longer. His son has been married for 6 years. He said, quote, we want a grandson or a granddaughter within a year or compensation because I've spent my life's earnings on my son's education. The main issue is that at this age, we need a grandchild, but these people, referring to his daughter-in-law and his son, have an attitude that they don't think about us. I think this is kind of a big deal, but wondering if you would be upset if your kids decided not to have children. Sedano, you go first.
Yeah, I don't think, first of all, I don't think everyone needs to be a parent. You know what I mean? Like, that's not for everybody. So to try try to force someone because of what you've spent on their education, like, I understand they're your child, but they don't owe you a grandchild. Like, that seems a little weird to me.
Yeah, this one is a strange story. I spent all my money getting this kid raised and educated, and now they're married and they're not giving me the pleasure that I want in life, which is a grandchild. Well, if you don't do it and give me a kid, you owe me $675,000. That's enough financial incentive to actually have a kid, I think.
Yeah, the kid's going to cost you more than that, right?
$675,000 up front. Like, wait, by the way, what's up with the parents? Like, hey, $675,000 is what it costs for me to do all these things your whole life. Now I want it back because you haven't given me a grandchild?
I guess that's like equivalent or how much he paid for him to go to flight school and all his education and stuff like that. So they actually have like a reasoning behind it.
Oh, really? They got receipts?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. That is Big Deal or No Deal each and every day at 6:30. Coming up next, our final segment. I want to read some of these LeBron responses because there are some funny ones in there. So we'll get to that. Oh, and I forgot. I mean, I mentioned this like an hour ago. Poor Taylor's had the damn sound up forever. There's one person that has been vocal about wanting to play with LeBron and the Lakers. Someone who I think can help them, Cap. So we'll do that. And there's crazy, crazy stuff going on in sports media. All that coming up in the final segment. Stick around. We're back in 2 minutes. Thank you, Christopher. This is a great jam.
This is when the doves cry. Are
you just doing Bob Dylan as Prince? Because that's what it sounded like.
That's exactly what he's doing.
I'm doing Prince as Prince.
No, you're not.
Yeah, just too demanding. She's never satisfied. She never satisfied. Why do we scream at each other? This is what it sounds like. When a dude cry.
He does not sound like Prince at all.
He's rolling over in his grave as we speak.
I mean, he is.
You think so? Really?
Lord. Yes.
Really? Shouldn't he be happy that we're still remembering him and we're still
well, yes.
He's never going to go away, Cap.
We're still singing his songs? Yeah. I mean, really?
The music stays forever. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. In the meantime, 1984. Are you kidding me? Really? Man, I'm a 14-year-old little punk.
Yeah.
Okay? Just singing my Prince.
Yeah. So apparently, speaking of being young, the rumor has it that the reason Pat Bev was taking out Chris Paul today on First Take is that there's a beef that goes back to some LeBron camp, some Nike camp back in the day when Patrick Beverly was a college player and he was like a college counselor at the camp, and that him and CP were playing against each other and that he was getting the best of CP and CP was degrading him, and it goes back. And you know what? I don't know if that story's true. That's just what's been circulating on the internet. But knowing Pat Beverly just a little bit, I believe that is something that he remembers.
That he would hold on to a grudge for all these years?
No question about it. I mean, you already see how competitive he is. And look, yes, he is not an all-time player, but you know what? I feel like if you have Pat Beverly on your team, you're better for it. Like, I'm not saying that he's going to be remembered like Chris Paul by any stretch of the imagination. Chris Paul is one of the greatest players of all time, particularly at his position. But I'll take a Pat Bev on my team all day, every day. And for those that don't know what I'm talking about, so Pat Bev was asked, he was on First Take today. He'll be back on tomorrow with Stephen A. He was on with J.J. Redick and Stephen A. today. And he just went in on Chris Paul. That was on First Take today.
I love all the stats and information, guys, too, that wind up putting out this stat that Chris Paul is the first ever player to blow five. And by the way, they put it all on him. He's the first player ever to blow 5-2-0 leads in a best-of-seven series.
Yeah.
And they go back 2013, even before that, 2008, 2013, 2016, 2021, and 2022, five times in Chris Paul's career, he's been on a team where the team has had a 2-0 lead in a seven-game series, and five times he's lost it. Him, by himself, it's all his fault.
I mean, it's not all his fault, but but he's the star of those teams, so unfortunately, that's the way it works. But
I wonder when that camp was that is being rumored.
Well, I mean, if Pat Bev was in college, it had to be like in the mid-2000s, is what my guess.
Because I'll tell you right now, when my kid was little, George, probably about 6, 7, 8 years old, my son, LeBron James used to do these camps every summer down in La Jolla. And people would literally come in, I'm not joking, I swear to God, from around the world.
Yeah, I believe it.
To have their kids go to the LeBron James camp. And at night, when the camp was over, LeBron and all of the NBA players and all of the college players that were all serving as counselors, dude, these guys played back and forth all night. And we sat there in the front row. Like, that is LeBron James. And I don't even remember who all the other guys were. And we're sitting here front row, no tickets, no popcorn, just sitting there watching LeBron play back then. And it was really cool. Super cool. Actually, the picture of my son's team with LeBron is also still pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So Pat Bev, by the way, on First Take today also said he would want to play with the Lakers and LeBron. Would you take Pat Bev? Because I would on this Lakers team. They need someone like him.
Well, they need a guy who's kind of like a badass enforcer. And I'm not saying like he's the biggest guy or the toughest guy. He's just an attitude guy.
Right. But here's the problem. I don't know if you know this, but, you know, he's got a beef with Russell Westbrook, you know?
Okay, well, yeah. I mean, listen, doesn't sound like he's the only guy that does, you know? I mean, remember a couple weeks ago there was a talk Kyrie. Like, oh, man, Kyrie, there's no way you could put Kyrie and Russ on the same team. So it sounds like there's a lot of guys that have issues.
Yeah. So it's going to be fascinating. But, look, if a guy like that wants to play on your team, you know, he was drafted when LeBron was with the Heat. So he was in the training camp, and then they traded him. They cut him the last roster spot. He almost made the team, and then he ended up going off forever. It's funny. Like, if you talk to the people there with the Heat, they'll tell you that they wished they would have been able to keep him. But because they had LeBron, Wade, and Bosch, they felt they needed more veterans. You know, they couldn't take a project, basically, at that time.
I thought Patrick Beverley today, you know, came off as a guy who really eventually wants to get into the media.
He's a media star already.
Yeah, look at Charles Barkley and what he has turned into, and I don't just mean a media star. I mean, Charles Barkley has carte blanche throughout America. Charles Barkley can say whatever he wants, and I'm not saying people don't take it seriously. I think they do, but they're like, yeah, that's Charles. That's who he is. We accept that from him. And I think Patrick Beverley could be another one of those types of characters. Now, he doesn't have the playing career yet, and I don't know that he'll ever get to the playing career that Barkley had, but man, if you have a strong opinion about things and you're a former player, hey, make it even better if you're a current player. Networks love that kind of stuff. I mean, everybody loves Draymond, and he seems to be the guy that's positioning to be the heir apparent to Chuck. But, man, Patrick Beverley threw his name in the hat today in a big way.
Yeah, but he doesn't have the cachet that Draymond has, though.
He does not.
He doesn't have the championships.
He does not.
I mean, Charles is an all-timer, even though he doesn't have championships. You know what I mean? Like, I think that. Well, I think Pat Beverley is great, and I would hire him in 2.7 seconds. I think that there's a different level there, you know, when
there
it comes
is.
From some. Like,
which is why he has to be opinionated, not just work on his name.
A million times over, agree, yes. So LeBron's been answering a bunch of these questions, and I mentioned you tried to get him to come on the show.
That really upset one of our listeners, a gentleman by the name of CP, Grand Theft Prado, who's like, yo, man, it's like, why don't you leave him alone? I'm like, wait a second, you're now defending LeBron James? Like, LeBron needs you? There's 45 million people around the world that are asking him questions. My question was, yo, when are you going to come on the show with us? He's like, yeah, man, but other people are asking him questions, and you're asking him to come on the radio. Yeah, so what? It's a question. Seem to really bother Grand Theft Prado.
You seem to be bothered by Grand Theft Prado.
Yeah, because I don't think LeBron James needs Grand Theft Prado to tell me, hey, back off, pal.
He doesn't, but I think it's funny that Grand Theft Prado is first of all, I love the fact that we're referring to him as Grand Theft Prado. Let's start with that. And then secondly, I love that you're just like really annoyed with Grand Theft
Prado.
Well,
here's another guy, Nick Simmons, who takes my tweet and he goes, you got to love Twitter trolls. Like, I'm trolling LeBron. He's sitting there with his phone. He's asking people, what's your question? That's my question. When are you coming on the show, dog?
Always.
Not that big a deal.
Always self-serving, though.
Yeah, but when you say self-serving, it's for the good of the show.
It is for the good of the show, but we could probably find a way to get LeBron having to tweet him.
Yeah, but he's sitting there. He's at his place. He's chilling. He's looking at what people
you don't
are
know where he's. Maybe he's international right now.
Well, wherever he is, he's got time on his hands.
Yeah. All right. Do you see this stuff with Drew Brees at NBC?
I did see this with Drew Brees. Yeah. And, you know, George, I'll tell you a quick story.
Yeah, because we got like a minute, so go ahead.
Okay, I'll make it quick. Drew Brees' manager told me about, I don't know, a year ago or so, that the deal they signed was, if Drew's not in the Sunday Night Football booth in a certain period of time, he becomes a free agent. I suspect that NBC was like, look, Drew Brees is a name, but he's not better than Chris Collinsworth, so why would we push Chris Collinsworth out now for Drew Brees? And then if Drew's not in the Sunday Night Football booth, dude, go do your own thing.
He's not very good, though.
Well, that may be the case, and he may find himself not having any TV jobs, if he even wants one.
Yeah. He doesn't need it, that's for sure.
God, the money. I mean, you made hundreds of millions of dollars in your career. You're going to keep working like this? Go enjoy your life, man. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
I definitely would want to do that.
Yeah. So, all right, we're done here. Taylor, great job filling in today, buddy.
Hey, nice job today, Taylor. Way to work it, man.
Thanks, guys. See you again
soon. This is the major leagues, dude. This ain't some minor league operation here.
Hope to meet you someday, Cap.
You also work in the major leagues, Taylor. Don't worry.
It's okay. No, so I'm saying. Okay. Good way to
Are
step
you referring
up.
To Sliwa and Travis, Cap? Is this like a shot that you're firing?
Yeah, I'm saying afternoon drive in like Los Angeles is a big deal, man. Way to go.
Yeah. It's a big deal, period.
Be a shot?
All right. Speaking of which, Lindsay, excellent work. Kaplan, excellent work.
Nice job, everybody.
And Sliwa and Lakers talk is up next.